Tonight, NDC minority in parliament serves notice they will fight any government business that will impose financial commitment on incoming John Mahama administration as they blow lead on plans by government to spend 140 million euros on ships.
They are proposing to buy ships worth 140 million euros at this time. Mr. Speaker, if it is extremely important for the state, allow the new government to commit them.
We have details as Majority Leader sends out a passionate appeal to NDC MPs to support some government businesses in Parliament in including the push to approve more than 300 million worth of tax waivers.
In the spirit of setting novel precedents to guide tomorrow, I want to encourage my colleagues to cooperate with government to do this key government business.
Also coming up, President-elect John Dramani Mahama demands probe into circumstances leading to the possession of illegal ballot papers by some individuals.
So until we solve that, the security printers must come together and make sure that if they don't want to lose business, then this thing must stop because it undermines the electoral process.
We have details as they ask security agencies and companies responsible for printing ballot papers to implement stringent measures to prevent such acts. Also coming up, government's transition team calls John Mahama's team bluff, insisting no agreement has been reached for government to submit all ongoing significant payments and recruitments to join transition team for consideration.
And you say, after Marini Aba, now we're in Sosunomodia Manio, send me room, say, or be pentem gidigidi, Akojan and Trofu, any maka be biatromo, say, they are Miss Mabaye.
And in business?
President-elect John Mahama admit delays in tackling energy-related challenges could lead to the collapse of the sector.
And in sports, the 2024 CAF Awards is underway in Morocco with Ghana's Abdul Aziz Issa in contention for the Best Goal of the Year award. We'll bring you details shortly.
All that plus your views and comments all here on Newsnight. Send me a WhatsApp 055-11-11997. We start in Parliament where the NDC is set to block all ongoing businesses in the House. And you know, it has been a protracted stalemate in the House. MPs today returned to work for the first time after the general elections that delivered an emphatic victory for their side. Now, today's sitting had barely started before the incoming majority side started flexing its muscles, serving notice they will block any government business that will impose a financial commitment on the incoming John Mahama administration. Now, the decision of the minority follows revelations today that government is planning to spend 140 million euros on ships. Now, listen to minority leader Dr. Kesi Latofose.
Drop that. Before us, they are proposing to buy ships worth 140 million euros at this time. Mr. Speaker, it is very wrong for a government that has left, that is leaving office in 3 weeks, to commit 140 million euros. Mr. Speaker, if it is extremely important for the state, allow the new government to commit them.
Parliamentary correspondent Kwaku Asante is with me in the studio. Kwaku, we're learning a bit more about these ships. The defense minister himself was on the floor today, giving us some clarity.
Well, yes, Evans, according to Dominic Nitiwo, the IMF has approved that government should get a loan of 140 million euros to actually do this. And it appears on the other paper. And this is a contract agreement between the government of the Republic of Ghana, represented by the Defense Ministry and OCEA Shipbuilding France, for an amount of 140 million euros for the acquisition of two offshore patrol vessels. He says these are critical business, but if the NDC MPs insist that John Dramani Mahama should come and negotiate that, he's willing to take his hands off that.
The IMF to agree only simply means that there must be special reasons why the IMF will agree for Ghana to take a commercial loan. And he knows that It was the IMF itself that had to agree to open up the space for Ghana to be able to take this, because Ghana does not have aircraft and ship. Doesn't have aircraft and ship for our military. I don't have a problem with the next administration dealing with it. But when there is an opportunity to do it and you don't do it, that is up to them to be able to do it. I don't have a problem at all. And I just told him that at all, that we don't have a problem. I am saying that you have opportunity to purchase two ships from France for the Ghana Navy. If you think that you cannot do it now, Mr. Speaker, you wait and do it when the government comes. We don't have that problem. The new government comes. Nobody has that problem at all. I don't have a problem at all. If the IMF will agree and open for them to borrow next year, I don't have a problem at all with that. And so I will defer to them, Mr. Speaker.
Do we know how this was concluded?
Well,
was the government ready to withdraw and allow for the next administration to look at?
Well, according to Dominic Nitiwo, this is something that he's willing to drop. There was no conclusion. But the minority insists that this is not something they are going to allow to go through. And this is not just that business that is going to suffer. There is the matter of the tax waivers worth about $350 million is still outstanding. There's also a $250 million loan still outstanding. Two persons nominated by the president to go onto the Supreme Court. They have inverted. Their report is ready, still outstanding. So Dr. Kessel Atofosin says all these businesses, they are not going to let them do it because they believe John Dramani Mahama should be afforded the opportunity to look at them and then decide whether these are some things he wants to do.
Right, Honorable Speaker, the tax exemptions before us, if approved, will have a fiscal burden in the next budget. In the next budget. So you are saying that the next government should carry your burden of $350 million? Mr. Speaker, no way. No way. It's not going to happen. Right, Honorable Speaker, as we speak, there is no 2025 budget. Activities before us cannot commit to the 2025 budget. You don't know the priorities of the next government. Look, I reviewed the hazard before coming here. The Honorable Chairman Sir Bozu is a precedent to me. Okay, it's authority on this matter. In 2016, what he said to us, that, and it is for that reason why today we were not able to take the loan for Damango Water. I brought Damango Water before us. They said to us that you cannot commit the next government, and if it is urgent or important, allow the next government to take it. So, Mr. Speaker, issues that will commit this country, as long as our budget is concerned, Mr. Speaker, I beg to say that let us leave it for the next administration to handle. But there are other low-hanging fruits here, like the Environmental Protection Agency bill. We finished the bill. We have left with only the third reading.
Minority Leader Dr. Kessel Atofosin there. Kweku, I know that the Minority Leader has been getting support from his colleagues. We know that Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa is one of them. What is he saying?
Well, according to the North Tongue MP, he in particular is railing against the tax waivers, $350 million worth. He says that will block financial holes for John Dramani Mahama to explore when he wins.
Mr. Speaker, we have stated our position on this matter. And considering the fact that all of these matters have been voted against and rejected by the Ghanaian people, why is the majority leader still putting it in the business statement and wanting to get us to work on these matters, which are so unpopular? A tall list, over 40 tax waivers, Mr. Speaker, and this will have serious fiscal implications for the next government. I mean, why do you want to saddle the next government with these huge revenue losses when you have been roundly rejected at the polls? This is a government talking about coming to cut down obnoxious and nuisance taxes. And then you are creating more fiscal liabilities for us. So, Mr. Speaker, we want to serve notice that these tax waivers, we are not going to support them.
Well, Kweku, we're all getting used to the fact that we have new government and we'll settle in. We'll settle in shortly. But then let's talk about Dr. Matthew Prokop Prempeh. This is the first time since the MPP's defeat that he has been seen in public.
Yeah.
Speaking about issues on the floor.
Yes.
Tell us more.
According to the 2024 MPP running mate, he understands that the NDC have won. They've gotten a mandate from the people. But the government still have business to do. And if the NDC insists that nothing should be done, then they should only consider the budget and then simply close shop and go home.
Just to get up and say that Ghanaians have totally rejected MPP and all his bills and all his encumbrances is a very, very unfair statement, Mr. Speaker. It's a very, very unfair statement in the sense that there are other things that have been programmed that I think that we shouldn't even bother to do. Why should we at this time take up any bill, whether it is environmental bill or social bill? I think the new government then should come and start, because we are resetting. And I agree, Ghanaians voted for resetting. So, Mr. Speaker, let's probably, the only thing we have to do is to take the vote on account and close shop. We should not continue with any business here, because like Honorable Okudzeto said, and rightly so, Ghanaians have voted for the resetting agenda of Nkukon Kitinkiti. If it is not worth doing, it's not worth doing.
Kuprempe there. Well, we know that the minority leader took a different stance this time on the floor. He took a begging approach.
Yes.
Quite surprising.
Yes, the majority leader, Alexander Afenyo-Markin, has been appealing for his NDC colleagues to support this. And then there's the Speaker of Parliament making an intervention, insisting that a lot of the businesses that the government side want to push through now will not be done, and that he himself has outlined some businesses that he believes are priority. So whilst Afenyo-Markin is begging, the Speaker of Parliament says he has decided on what key business they have to do.
In the spirit of continuity in governance, in the spirit of setting a certain novel precedence to guide tomorrow, I want to encourage my colleagues to cooperate with government to do this key government business. For instance, Mr. Speaker, my respected colleague Ablakwa of Norton stated that government, the incoming government, intends to reduce taxes and deal with obnoxious the tax regime we have, according to him. If that were to be so, why will this same incoming government reject the 1D1F, which is giving an incentive? Because we don't want too many imposition of taxes on corporate Ghana. What this is doing is to take away the taxes. You say that you are going to repeal taxes. We are giving an incentive. You say no.
I captured in my statement, sequence them so that we can handle them, because I thought the number one priority is the expenditure in advance of appropriation. In fact, I was told that we'll start it today. I'm aware that a request was also made for the Public Accounts Committee reports because of the nature of those reports. And so I captured those things for our consideration. Beyond that, that not for the determination of the 8th Parliament. Then the 9th Parliament will come to continue if the new government considers it necessary to proceed with. So let's take to this agenda and let's get some business done, please.
I mean, let's get a bit more on this. I want to bring in Alex Tete. He is a second deputy majority whip. Also joining me, Sam Okudzeto Ablakwa, is the MP for North Tong. Thank you, gentlemen, for the time here on Newsnight. Alex, do you agree with the speaker there that let's settle on some of the businesses, not all, and so you can proceed to conclude the business of this particular parliament and allow the next parliament to deal with the rest?
Thank you very much. Let me say hi to your listeners. And like you rightly said, most of our leaders, Matthew Puku Prempe, other members of parliament have expressed their view. It was about the business statement that the leader of the house presented to the house. And I mean, a lot of members expressed their views and their concern, and the speaker finally rule on what we are expected to do for these 4 or 5 days. That's from today up to Friday. And even speaker said that we should do it up to Saturday, looking at the time and the nature of business that we need to do. But like you said, we cannot do all, I mean, businesses, or we cannot do all what has been programmed in the other paper. And I want the minority side to actually help the government to transition this business, because this government's term will end on the 6th of January. And like you rightly said, Are we in need of this particular base like the EPA, the Ghana Boundary Commission, the 1D1F? SNDC is saying that they are coming to reduce traffic. And we are also saying we want to give incentive to companies who are willing to come and actually establish businesses in Ghana. If NDC is preventing us from presenting these papers, then what I would say is that we should leave for them. Then equally, it's not important for us to pass, vote on accounts for them to use in January, February, March. If this is what they want us to do.
I almost hear you say that you either do the business as you already have outlined or you don't do anything at all.
That's what I'm saying. If they are saying that what the majority leader has presented to the House is not important, then we should leave it. We should actually adjourn the House immediately. And when they come back on the 7th January, then they can do their budget on accounts and other things. Then we see who going to get money to pay Ghanaians.
This is what they want us to do. Let me pull that to Sam Okudeta Blakwa. Mr. Blakwa, do you accept that?
Well, good evening, Evans. It is important to emphasize that the Ghanaian people have voted to reset Ghana. They have voted for change. They have rejected state capture, where a few crony companies are selected and given tax waivers. These tax waivers will amount to a whopping, a colossal $350 million. Why do you want to saddle the incoming government with this huge fiscal burden on crony companies? Nobody knows the criteria for selection. I mean, look, if there is any tax handle intervention which has to be done, it is the tax reprieve for the ordinary Ghanaian, for the masses. Why is this government keeping e-levy, keeping betting tax, keeping emission tax, keeping COVID levy? We are the only country in the world still paying a COVID levy, long after the WHO declared COVID no longer a pandemic. We are saying that instead of giving these tax waivers to crony companies, nepotistic companies, why don't you rather consider the masses? And fortunately, Baumia came around, agreed with President-elect Mahama during the campaign that e-levy and some of these obnoxious, totally nuisance taxes ought to go. So why is it that in the business statement today, when you have an opportunity to bring us along and build consensus, you are rather focusing on those who have the financial muscle to pay? They should pay their fair share. In any case, what has changed? When President Akufo-Addo delivered his first State of the Nation address, he condemned tax waivers, criticized them, and said that tax waivers are not good for the economy. So what has changed? So there is absolutely no way we are going to agree to these tax waivers for 46 selected crony companies that will create a deep hole of over $350 million. You know what $350 million can do? We have made manifesto pledges. We are talking about the Women's Development Bank. We are talking about the no-fee stress, no admission fees for first-year university students. We are talking about re-equipping our hospitals. The last time we did a national re-equipping program for our hospitals was more than 10 years ago. That $350 million can help us to address our manifesto pledges, including compensating the victims of the spillage by the VRA from the Akosombo upon down.
Well, the majority side, they have a condition for you. They say, yeah, they will consider what you're demanding, but if you only also forego anything else you had planned to do, including the expenditure and advance of appropriation for January to March, are you willing? Is this a fair compromise for you?
That cannot be fair. That is the height of irresponsibility. What they are saying, in effect, means that they don't want Ghanaian workers to be paid in January, February, and March. That is what they are saying. And why do you want to use Ghanaian workers as human shield? Because you want to create a tax waiver regime for crony companies. I mean, these people are still not learning. They are refusing to learn. This is why you suffered the most humiliating political defeat in the history of our country. And they still won't learn.
It's incredible. It's mind-boggling. Why do you want Ghanaian workers to suffer, not to be paid, just because of a few crony companies? Why?
But they've explained. I mean, this matter has been protracted. It's been in Parliament for a very long time, more than a year. It's the same subject that many have suggested led to the removal of the former chair of the Finance Committee. And the government had explained that it's for economic reasons, that these businesses need the tax waiver so they can expand and employ more people. It's all in the interest of growing the economy. You don't buy that argument.
We don't buy it because the government's track record is totally at variance with those claims. How can you be implementing 1D1F and yet unemployment worsens? Unemployment has shot up from 8% in 2016 to 14.7% as we speak. If you read the latest Afrobarometer, it says 41% of Ghanaians are worried about their unemployment. Read the latest Afrobarometer. So in the name of 1D1F, giving these tax waivers to crony companies, we have not seen a revival of industries. As I speak to you, I am member of parliament for a constituency whose industries have all collapsed under this government. Joapon Textiles has collapsed. For several months, workers are at home. The factory is shut. Avehime Rice has collapsed under a regime that claims to be carrying out 1D1F and industrializing this country. It's all a sham. It's a big joke. It's a scam. And that is why the Ghanaian people roundly rejected them. So we are not falling for these claims. It is just another create, loot, and share scheme. Let us get our crony companies off the hook. They import whatever they want. Look, do you know that they gave tax waivers to cronies, in-laws of the president who said they were coming to do hotels, the Puma Hotel scandal? Nothing has happened to it. The hotels were not built. Those monies are gone. Where is the money given to those people who said they were coming to build a sky train? Look, we have lost so much money because of all of these corrupt state capture schemes. And we are not going to allow this hemorrhage to continue. And they have to get it. Look, if we allow them, we will be complicit. And the way the Ghanaian voter is angry, we don't want to suffer a similar fate in the next election. So as for these tax waivers, they will not receive our support.
But the tax waivers,
$350 million. We are
waivers,
not supporting it.
The tax waivers aren't the only business on the table. They are also considering €140 million worth of ships for the Ghana Navy. You objected to that too. Why?
Absolutely. We object to this because this was smuggled in. The speaker announced today that he didn't even know about it. He doesn't know how it found its way on the other paper. It's a last minute procurement gig once again. We don't know what value for money has been done. There's no value for money report. We have been asking for it. There's been no due diligence. And look, there's a new government is coming. Why the rush? Why the rush to engage in this huge procurement? Meanwhile, there is established in this parliament, the Parliament of the Republic of Ghana, that in between elections and swearing in, you don't commit the next government to major policy decisions. It's the Chairman Sabonsu doctrine. It's the Akufo-Addo doctrine. Read our hazards of 2000, of 2008, of 2016. Do you know that even the RTI, President Mahama was about to ascend to it. They said, no, hold on. There's a new president coming. So allow that president to bring his new leadership, new mandate to bear. So why is it that the same principles which they established, suddenly they are departing from it and they want to saddle the new government with all of these things? We don't know the company. We don't know what went into it. It's a huge, over €140 million.
Let me bring in Mr. Tete. Mr. Tete, so you've said on the floor today, your side, that if the minority side won't do business on some of the other items on the list, including the tax waivers and the ships you wanted to buy for the Navy, then you're not also ready to do business around the expenditure on advance of appropriation for January to March, which in essence will mean some workers won't be paid. Okwudu Balogun's point is that it's not fair to the Ghanaian worker because you'll be punishing the Ghanaian worker because of selfish interest, he alleges, over the tax waivers. Hello, Mr. Tete.
If Abuakwa is saying that today the majority side is refusing to actually give them a hand in passing their vote on account, if we can recall, on these same items that has been lined up in our business statement today. We recalled the House for twice. NDC didn't allow us to work and work for this particular vote on account. Today, Abakwa, my friend, is saying that we are not being fair to Ghanaian workers. Rather, they are the ones who are denying the payment of Ghanaian workers in January, February, March, because we came purposely to do business. And they deny us through their action and inaction that they formed majority then. And the Speaker actually ruled on it that we should house in Italy.
Well, he says now that they are ready to consider that because obviously
then,
he has to.
They should tone down. I want you to ask Abakwa that in 2016, after the election, didn't he do any business in education? He was there as an education minister. Didn't he sign any paper there?
No, they haven't said that don't do any business.
So,
their point is that if it has to do with a significant financial commitment, then hold off until the new administration considers it properly, and then they can do it. Considering the economic, circumstances that we all know, they will have to deal with in 2025. Isn't that a fair ask?
Then they're asking it. So that Ghanaians will know the answer. Because we came to actually deal with this particular item, and they refused in twice that we appear in the House. So our brokers shouldn't come and say we are giving tax exemption to their opponents. Their members are in the Finance Committee. It's not only the MPP members that, in Finance Committee. They also have their members there. And once they have agreed that we should give the tax exemption to these particular companies, if we want to tag any party that has collapsed a lot of government or companies in Ghana, it's an NDC, it's not an MPP.
Yo, Mr.
So
Tessa,
please, this will allow us to build consensus and come together that we work on these particular items.
All of them, you're not willing to
share.
We cannot
finish all of the items that are said. And like Napo and another, Defense Minister has said that he is not worried. If IMF, we have conditionalities attached to this IMF. And if IMF have allowed us to borrow on commercial markets or something to actually purchase this particular ship for the Navy, then the Abroka and Co are saying that they will not allow. The Minister of Defense is saying that for him, he doesn't have any cause to worry. The only thing that if IMF will allow us from next year to actually go in for this particular facility, then fine.
Okay. Gentlemen, thank you very much. And that there is Alex Tete. He's the second deputy majority whip. Samuel Kudita Blackwa is MP North Tong. In the middle of this is the major subject of the expenditure and advance of appropriation for January to March. The government needs to have this approved. Other than that, workers will struggle to get their pay for January to March, which is now at the heart of this controversy in the House. And the majority side have already said on the floor that, well, you better consider the other items on the list or that will also suffer. I want to hear from you if you're a worker. Send me a WhatsApp, 055-11-11997. And Steve, whilst we talk about this, the subject of what to consider and what not to consider, the transition team is also deliberating on that same subject.
Indeed.
With some conflict now emerging over what they constitute and consider as significant financial commitments.
Indeed, Evans, because cracks are beginning to emerge within the joint transition team, with the government side fighting off claims by the incoming NDC administration team that there has been an agreement to submit all significant payments and recruitments to the joint team for consideration. Well, the John Mahama team last week indicated they agreed at their second meeting that such activities must be submitted to the transition team for consideration on case-by-case basis. Well, spokesperson for the incoming government side, Felix Ofosu-Kwachi, flagged the planned payment of 240 million Ghana cedis to an entity that had conducted business with the Electricity Company of Ghana.
You mentioned the concerns we raised at the last sitting regarding the last-minute appointments and mass recruitments and some payments that we find troubling, given its likely implications for our fiscal position. We were given some commitments last Wednesday on those matters. We were told that, first of all, there will be proper deliberation on them today. So we expect that the true picture will be painted and that we will be given access to critical information concerning these recruitments and payments. We were also told that in order to resolve the issues comprehensively, a committee will be set up to look into them in the manner that is thorough and the manner that brings out all the facts. So we expect that those commitments will be met today as the first item. And then any other business that may come up to will be dealt with.
What do you make of those who say that because the president, you know, was set in 2016 by the then incoming NPP government, so the NDC side also wants to take the opportunity to
pay them back? There's a reason why they are presidents. And you have mentioned the president. Why is the present administration unable to abide by their own precedent? I think that they should abide by the president, because it's the president that makes sense. It is only fair that when elections are over and a new president is elected, his team is given the opportunity to understand the exact situation of the country. So all major decisions regarding recruitments, payments, what have you, should be held on to and should only be made with the express consent of the incoming administration, so that when we take office, we know exactly what situation we are walking into. The last thing we want is to be blindsided, only to walk into a situation where we are ambushed with all manner of demands and payments and people who have been recruited. Because we will be working with these people in any event. So we should have a hand in their recruitment. Mm-hmm. And any payments that are made that would exact a toll on the national purse must be done with us in the know. Mm-hmm. And we expect nothing short of that.
Okay.
But speaking on sister station, Adum FM spokesperson for government side, Fatima Abubakar, said no agreement was reached with the president-elect's team.
When you say a budget in November of 2023, as in the 2024 budget?
Yes.
Every ministry, agency, and then Kikahun, Obia on allocation or budgeting. But what you have to say, any goods and services, or say any capex, or on a budget over mid-year. Adjustments are necessary more year crown or money to add additional commitments and answer money to the budget too. Or more adjustments, baby, a year here resources and you move it to other places within the budget year in 2023 no November no for the 2024 budget year. Me patch our budget no. Obi or no ma mandate dear man no the processes no. After a juma or year no SCP as a so tiaka. For instance, yeah, entire purpose as a ministry, and say now you person you procure 40 state of the art LED vans. Emma, your friend is saying information services department, not the district, no. Ebenya dia ye juma bra. If you are fi asasiye, okay, bra odi benya commencement warrant. Bra odi wo procurement documents beko PPE. Akwa kuche si akope mse ubenya approval.
That is Fatima Abubakar. Just a brief interpretation of what she's saying there. She's saying that every ministry, department and agency, they have their allocations in the budget, whether it is goods and services. She also goes on to say that with this budget prepared for 2024, everyone have different mandates and they have been taxed and assigned to them and payment for that is due. She goes on to say that with the information the ministry has, they have planned to procure 40 LED TVs for information services department to facilitate their work.
So there's controversy right now as we approach the handover to the new administration, the transition process over what can government or what should government do and what they shouldn't do as far as financial commitments are concerned. I want to bring in Dr. John Osai-Krapon, who is a director of the Democracy Project at the Center for Democratic Development. Doc, thanks for time here on Newsnight. What was the best practice here? This controversy has erupted both in Parliament. The minority side say do not commit the incoming administration to significant financial payment. We've seen that also now playing out at the transition, the joint transition team, dividing opinions there. What is the best practice around the world?
For me, the best practice will be both sides, incoming government and outgoing government, to find a way to come up with a healthy compromise. The process of governance cannot stop because we've had an election. The president, the current government, still do have a mandate to continue in office until the new president is sworn in on January 7th, which means that it has an obligation to do the things that governments need to do. At the same time, there is an in-government government who would have to bear the brunt of whatever decisions are taking over the next 3 weeks before the new government is sworn in. So it also does make sense that the incoming administration would make the request to say, on some of these things for which we will be saddled with either implementing or executing, it would be good to have a say and come to some compromise about it. And I think that should be what should guide the two sides, right? Maybe coming up with, you know, some list of key priorities, determining what the threshold for significant financial commitment is, and find a way to work through those differences. It's a balancing act, but it's a balancing act that requires leadership, that requires trust, and that requires compromise to do.
But on this, on the specific subject though of what they now term the significant financial commitments, the income administration, they have a point, don't they? Considering where the economy is right now, they want to be sure that they want to foot that bill, because they will carry the burden. Even if it's Parliament approves it today, they will have to make the payment.
Correct. I agree. And so that is why, for me, there has to be some further conversations around what is deemed significant financial commitment, right? So, for example, set some parameters in the negotiations and coming up with a compromise. You can set some parameters around the threshold for a significant financial commitment. So maybe if it's 1 million, maybe that's too much. Maybe if it's 500,000, that is bearable, because you're right. The new administration would have to bear the brunt of what those commitments will be and the implications that it would have on the budget and the fiscal space that the new administration would have to be able to accommodate these financial commitments. So the incoming administration does have a point. The question is, we would have to find, both sides would have to find a way of setting some parameters around what they mean by a significant financial commitment and what the incoming administration can accommodate should the outgoing administration make those commitments.
Dr. John Osaikwapon, a director at the Democracy Project at CDD, thank you very much. Still ahead.
President-elect John Dramani Mahama calls for investigations into circumstances leading to the possession of illegal ballot papers by some individuals.
The security printers must come together and make sure that if they don't want to lose business, then this thing must stop, because it undermines the electoral process.
We have details after business, and George Riafi joins me. George, what should we expect?
Well, coming up in business, President-elect John Mahama admits delays in tackling energy-related challenges could lead to the collapse of the sector, and former Minister of Finance Atekpe downplays negative impact of investor reaction to the planned renegotiation of the IMF program. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Sintes Tanks, and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal. You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, President-elect John Mahama has admitted that delays in dealing with the energy-related challenges could lead to the collapse of the sector. Now, this coming on the back of rising debt, the sector which has reached more than $2 billion. Imani Ghana, in a recent letter, has also warned that if the government doesn't move quickly to address these challenges, it could take us back to the era of irregular power supply. But speaking on the network, that is the Global South Network, the president noted that these reforms are needed right now.
Supplying about a little over 60% of our gas needs for electricity generation. We need to push that up to 100%, because if we push that up to 100%, we'll be saving almost $400 million a year. And so that's something that we need to look at. Unfortunately, this government has messed the whole chain, the whole value chain in the energy sector up. And so again, for the gas that is being taken, they're not paying for it. And so because of that, ENI has reduced the volumes that it's pumping. We set up the ENI project with a World Bank guarantee. You believe that the guarantee has been drawn down for non-payments until it's left with just $50 million. If EMI draws down on the $50 million, it means we would incur another default with the World Bank. And so it's a very precarious situation that needs to be dealt with as quickly as possible.
President-elect John Mahama, now former Minister of Finance Satekpe, has downplayed any negative investor response to the planned recognition of the IMF program by the incoming government. Now, there are fears that the economy could be hit badly if the incoming government goes ahead with this move. But Mr. Satekpe, this it is.
We are doing things that would rather be attractive.
So it won't ward off?
To those... Yes, we are doing things that will be attractive to those who gave us a loan in the past. And because we stopped the repayment mechanism, we are doing things that will tell, you know, the country that we need not have borrowed so much for COVID, you know, buffers. And when you do that, that is what countries do to win themselves. That is how countries learn to manage their crisis, and they are not always returning to the IMF. So you go there only when...
So I get from you that this renegotiation will be done in a way that it won't send any bad signal to these donors and investors. They'll be brought on board or engage them.
Not at all. The donors, right, the lenders, and the rest. After all, if you are going to take off, you know, the first sovereign bond as we did, you go and you convince them in the market that you have good intentions.
Former Minister of Finance, Seth Tekpe. Now, industries have revealed that they've started feeling the impact of the current economic recovery on the operations. It's coming on the back of challenging economic situation. You saw some of the firm scale down the operations. Dr. Humphrey Imdake is president of the Association of Ghana Industries.
You could say that to some extent, because, however, the vulnerabilities that could trigger or derail these macro gains are still real. And that is why I dream in the subject matter of the debt position of the economy, of the country, and the IPPs in particular, the independent power producers can pull the plugs, and that derails the your power position, and that could give you significant challenges. So those are part of the vulnerabilities within the system. And therefore, as much as we're chucking and moving in gradually, backed up with the IMF programs, there's some extent of certainties. But the trigger there, beyond all this that I've captured, is also the exchange rate factor. The exchange rate factor derails predictions and projections. I say this because of the bi-weekly exchange rate policy that we run at the port.
Humphrey Imdake is president of the Association of Ghana Industries. Now, Cosmos Energy has been given up to January 9 next year to formalize its intention to take over Talo Oil. Now, it's coming after Talo Oil, and the statement confirmed that it's been some initial talks between their outfit and Cosmos Energy to acquire all their shares. But Talo in the statement maintained that this should be done in accordance with the takeover rules. That is, Cosmos Energy will now have up to the end of next month to actually finalize everything. Meanwhile, energy analyst Yusuf Suleimana says this move, if it comes out, will go a long way to bring some good fortunes for the energy industry.
Yeah, so it's an important moment that we have to wait and see how it pans out. For me, I look at it both ways, both positive and negative. The positive aspect of it is the fact that, of course, Talo is clearly struggling. And for the fact that, I mean, the MD is stepping down. The MD stepped down some time ago, Talo Ghana, and then the group CEO has also stepped down. So that leaves a lot of leadership vacuum, and they need to search for competent people to be able to replace that. We don't really have much time for that. I mean, the company is almost 50-50% owned by Cosmos and Talo. If Cosmos can acquire the shares, I think it's rather going to be positive for the entirety of the company, and it will give it a forward-looking, especially the kind of huge share that Talo is holding within the Jubilee and then the 10 fields, and then if they should stay without a chief strategist, I think it will impact the whole entire. So if you look at it that way, I think we should look at it as within that should be a positive light.
Energy analyst Yusuf Suleimana there. That's all for business on News Night.
Thank you, George, for bringing us business. It's time now for sport, and Musbao joins me in the studio. Mr. What should we expect?
Well, there's a big event happening in Morocco at the moment. It's the 2024 CAF Awards. Has started with some awards being given out. A few that have been handed out is the Women's National Team of the Year, and that went to Nigeria following their impressive performance in the this year's competitions that they participated in. For the men's, it went to Ivory Coast after they clinched the AFCON title. But some Ghanaian interest there is Abdulaziz Issa, because he's been nominated alongside some 9 other players for the Goal of the Year award. And well, that award will be handed out later. But the big award that a lot of people are looking forward to is the CAF Men's Player of the Year, and quite a number, about 5 players are in contention for that award. We have a wrap of the nominees for you in this report.
Simon Adingra played a key role in Cote d'Ivoire's AFCON victory, scoring a crucial equalizer in the quarterfinals and assisting 2 goals in the final, while also shining for Brighton in the Premier League. Sehu Grassi scored 28 Bundesliga goals, breaking Stuttgart's record in a single season, and continued his impressive form at Borussia Dortmund, while also showing up for Guinea at key moments. Achraf Hakimi helped PSG secure a 3rd consecutive Ligue 1 title and a French Cup triumph, while also earning a bronze medal with Morocco at the Paris Olympics. Ademola Lookman, who is considered a favorite for the award, led Atalanta to their first major trophy in 61 years, scoring a memorable hat-trick in the Europa League final, and was a standout performer for Nigeria, who finished 2nd at the AFCON. Ronwen Williams captained South Africa to bronze at the AFCON, saving penalties in crucial shootouts, and was instrumental in Mamelodi Sundowns' record-breaking 7th consecutive league title win.
That's a report by my colleague Karim Abdul Benin there. Well, some just 2 awards that have also been handed out is the Young Player of the Year Woman, Doha El Madani of Morocco picked that up, and for the men's, Young Player of the Year went to Lamine Kamara of Senegal. So even that's it. Hopefully by tomorrow we'll bring you some update on the other awardees.
Thank you, Musbao. Now, away from sports, for years the communities of Pelikope, Dosiakope and Wodopo have shared the same burden: no access to safe drinking water. With the nearest source often miles away, residents have suffered, sometimes from waterborne diseases. Well, hope has finally flowed into these villages. My colleague Michael Ashali has the rest of the story.
In Pelikope, Volta region, residents walk for hours, not for clean water, but for any water at all. Moses Akpovi, a resident of the Pelikope community for over 30 years, recounts how search for water often takes them miles away, sometimes spanning 3 neighboring communities.
We dig a well here about 27 years ago now. So we are affecting the water in the well knocked down.
The local assemblyman, Sachi Nairam, overwhelmed and running out of options, struggled to gain a response from government officials despite his relentless appeals.
I give it to MP, but nothing has shown.
About 20 kilometers away, Dosiakope mirrors the struggles of Pelikope.
The former source of water that we normally use, we get a lot of diseases from it.
Further north, the small farming community of Fudopo struggles as well. Millicent's children sometimes miss school because of the long trek to the nearest stream, a situation she fears could permanently derail their education.
By the time they return from the stream, it's already time for break.
Residents of Pelikope, Dosiakope and Wodokpo finally have clean water close to home thanks to the Rotary Clubs of Accra West and Telok, with support from Meaningful Life International.
For Joy News, Michael Ashali.
Away from that, President-elect John Dramani Mahama is calling for investigations into the circumstances leading to the possession of illegal ballot papers by unauthorized persons. Speaking during a visit by members of some minority political parties, he urged security agencies and companies responsible for the printing to implement stringent measures to prevent such acts, which he says undermine the integrity of the electoral process. During last week's election, there were reports of individual arrests by the police for allegedly being in possession of a large number of thumb-printed ballot papers.
I think that even though the electoral process is not perfect, there's a responsibility on political parties to make sure that we use the levers that the election gives us to be able to police the poll. But we must also do a post-mortem and see what went wrong. There are still issues of ballot paper printing and ballot paper stuffing, because in many cases we found people with EC ballot papers, genuine ballot papers. And the question is, we must investigate, how do they get these ballot papers? Who prints them for them? Who gives these ballot papers to these people? How do they get the plate of the Electoral Commission to be able to print ballot papers? We believe in local capacity to print. But if we're going to print and always have a situation where duplicates of the ballot papers leak and give the people the opportunity to stuff the ballot, then we might look at printing those ballot papers outside and bringing them. So until we solve that, the security printers must come together and make sure that if they don't want to lose business, then this thing must stop, because it undermines the electoral process. Aside from that, we must get the issue of pink sheets right. You know, how we can all fill the same pink sheets at the polling station, and then we come to collation center, and then the party is holding a different pink sheet. Electoral Commission is holding different pink sheets. It shouldn't happen. And so in a few cases, it still means that some of the electoral officers, you know, are willing to be induced to be able to switch pink sheets or alter figures and all that. There's a case where alternate pink sheets came from Electoral Commission, and instead of being the other duplicate, they were not carbonated, written in pen. You know, these are all things that we need to look at and see how we can correct the electoral process so that tomorrow it does not create a problem for us.
On constitutional reforms, John Mahama announced plans to revisit the work of the Constitutional Review Committee. He intends to hold a national validation conference to reassess flagged issues and make necessary changes.
Again, it has served us well, and I still believe it's one of the best constitutions any African country can have. But after using it for several years, we realize that there are a few parts that we need to tweak so that it can serve us for even further generations to come. Okay. And so one of the things that I intend to do is to hold a national validation conference where we would bring all stakeholders in a form of consultative assembly. The legal people will know how to phrase it so that we can move it forward. Now what we want to do is to bring the constitutional review report back to this validation conference. There might be things that we flagged that we wanted to amend that might not be necessary again this time. And thereby the new things that we didn't really take notice of that will become important for us to include in the review. I mean, for instance, if you take the impasse between Parliament and the judiciary, nobody anticipated that a situation like this would arise. But once it's arisen, we must clearly state what the mandate of the Speaker is.
John Mahama talking there about the plans that he has once he takes over in January. But he's also been talking about hampers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hampers, apparently, there's a direct correlation between the number of hampers you get and your ability to win or lose an election.
Interesting. So I'm wondering how many hampers Katie Hammond will get.
It looks like zero. If he calculated from the last election where he won, he possibly would be in the negative.
You know?
Yeah. But you also need to ask, you know, there's also Baumia, how many hampers he will get now compared to what he used to get in the past.
I'm wondering, Napo as well, first time we've seen him, will he get any at all?
Nah, well, listen to John Mahama, you understand why this is such a big deal, I mean, for the politicians, and maybe why next time you need to fight tooth and nail to win an election.
16. The Christmas hampers stopped coming. The many people who used to come to my gate and come and try to get in to just to see me for a minute stopped coming. It was only my siblings, my family, my closest friends and others, my church members who continued to stand closely to me. So for me, these trappings of power don't get to my head. I know that all the praises and blessings you'll be showered with by people are temporary. It's because of that word attached to your name, president. One day it will go and you'll be with those who are. When I lost in 2016, the Christmas hampers stopped coming.
Yeah, I'm hoping I get some, even Christmas. Though I didn't contest for the election.
If you want more, run.
Please.
Enjoy the rest of your evening, people. My name is Evans Mensah.
And I'm Faustina Safo. Good evening.